Program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth John. With me, as always, or virtually always, and sometimes virtually here, is Derek. How you doing?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. So how'd you like those football games over the weekend?
They were pretty good, but none of them were as exciting as the Bulls-Knicks game on Saturday.
Now, my satellite blacked that out, or I'm not quite sure.
Really?
Why? What station was it on?
Comcast Sportsnet.
Oh, that's because, see, the thing is that it's not key. I don't think I get Dish Network.
Well, my DirecTV has Comcast.
And DirecTV has it. I think they made a deal with Comcast, but I don't think Dish Network has yet. I think that's the problem. But they said blacked out, which isn't really accurate. They just don't have a deal with Comcast.
Exactly.
So that was unfortunate, but what a great ending. I tell you what, the Bulls are really looking good.
Playing some basketball, six in a row, not bad. They're only five games out of the division lead.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Well, I see Paxton and Skiles, they know what they're doing.
Pretty good team.
Yeah. Yes. And that's exciting. And, of course, Illini basketball couldn't be more exciting.
No, it couldn't. And that game against Northwestern was closer than I expected, but it was a good game.
It was a good game, and you could see those three guards, when they need to get the job done, they just get the job done.
They do what they got to do.
Head is such an athlete.
Yeah, we're going to miss him.
And what can you say about the point guard?
Steve Brown.
Boy, that guy's so quick. He is so quick. It's going to be fun to go down to St. Louis for the NCAAs this year.
Oh, yeah.
They are going all the way. But getting back to football.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, I was in Indy. I just thought Indy was the Colts for the Destiny team. But I didn't know at the time when I said that the Patriots had a linebacker by the name of Brewski.
Teddy Brewski.
I mean, how can you? You can't beat a team that's got a linebacker by the name of Brewski. I got a friend in Boston area, says that every time the TV mentions his name, everybody goes Brewski. they all go for a beer. And he says, at his age, he's not sure he can handle too many more of those. But those days where Brewski's name is being mentioned constantly. So, anyway, I think that was the Super Bowl, folks. I think that was the Super Bowl, Derek.
That's what I was saying all along.
But it wasn't, again, and as all Super Bowls, it was kind of anticlimactic. I mean, it wasn't much of a game, really. But, yeah, geez, New England just looks awfully tough. And you know what? The NFC, in my opinion, looks so inferior.
Oh, yeah.
To the AFC. It's pretty sad.
Well, I'm just kind of confused on how Peyton Manning throws 49 touchdowns in the regular season, throws four touchdowns last week, and they only managed 3 points yesterday. I mean, this is your MVP.
it is pretty incredible. You know what? But in his defense, there were a lot of drop passes and just fumbles. Yeah, and the weather I think may have affected things a little bit, but that's no excuse. But Indy is used to that perfect climate in the dome. All right, so anyway, I will predict it'll be Philly against New England instead of the Colts. And, the Colts, or the Patriots are going to win it. Go Pittsburgh. They don't have, oh, that's my other side bet. I got a $10 bet on a side bet. Who gives the Super Bowl, the Colts or Pittsburgh?
Oh, I just get tired of the monotony, that's all.
Pardon me?
I just get sick of the monotony. I'm tired of the Patriots.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the Lakers. I'm tired of the Yankees.
Pittsburgh almost lost You know, they're not going to...
They didn't look bad against the Jets. Or did the Jets look really good? That's the question.
Jets may be an upcoming team.
They played well.
Hard to tell. All right. Moving on to the stupid regulation of the week. This out of the land of fruits and nuts out in California. Sacramento. New laws have been, passed as happens at New Year. And California has their share of them. And, it's more than any state. They have the nation's toughest laws for kids, helmet laws for kids on bikes and skateboards. And they've banned soda from the elementary and junior high schools. And now new laws went into effect restricting kids from riding scooters or riding in the front seat of a car.
So how old?
This report here from the Sacramento Bee doesn't say. I'm not sure what the limit is for kids, but it's still absurd. How did we as kids? How did we ever? I know you're a different generation, but how did we survive? You know, without all these laws and helmets and such.
My son, my mom had a demon when I was a kid that didn't have seatbelts, period. And I'm okay.
You made it through.
I lived. She said I fell off the seat once, but, I'm not brain dead or anything from it. I don't even remember, so it must not have been that dramatic.
Well, pretty soon they're going to have to start outlawing bathtubs and stairs. Why not just get rid of cars while we're at it? It's getting a little bit absurd. let's see. There will be fines for boys playing with toys, toy guns, and BB guns if they look too much like the real thing. So it goes on and on and on. I'll tell you one place I will never live, one state I will never live in is California. It just gets so absurd. One more law they're talking about was I can't find it now here. I'm sorry, folks. All right, well, forget it. That's enough. Tanning salons. Oh, here we go. Oh, they have an age limit for entering a tanning salon. So I guess there's going to be the undercover tanning police now. Isn't that special? So it moves on and on. The nanny state folks in the land of the free and the brave. We got Jeff on the line? All right, well, we're going to have a guest today, folks, but I'll tell you what. Jeff has called, and we'll take his call quickly, and then we're going to talk to Debbie Goldberry of the Cannabis Action Network at the Berkeley Patients Group and talk about medical marijuana. But first, let's hear from Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Good morning. Happy work week. Hey, listen, I heard something.
Happy football playoff week.
Oh, don't die. I already told your partner in there that I thought Indianapolis was going to go for it.
Boy, were we wrong.
Oh, man. We get. And he was saying Atlanta. I hope New England doesn't get it.
Well, I wouldn't mind Atlanta because I got him in a pool, so that would be a good thing.
Well, I hope for me wrong because I really thought Indianapolis. And I also watched Atlanta, and they kicked some rear end, I'll tell you.
Atlanta looks pretty good, but again, the thing, I guess, is what is still true. To me, it holds more true in baseball than in football, cliche about defense versus offense. But it still holds really true in football, I think, that a great defense is going to be the great offense almost every time. And Philly's defense looks awfully, awfully tough. And I think that might be a great matchup between that potent offense of Vic and the Atlanta Falcons versus Philly's defense. And Philly's offense is not slouch either, is it?
Mm-mm.
So... Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Hey,
I wonder if you had any...
I'll make it real quick because I realize you're going to get a guest on there. But yesterday, I was listening to a gentleman on your sister station, WBIG, about, probably three or four. I think his first name was Frank something. Anyway, He was talking about a couple of things that were really interesting. They're my ears, got my ears going. One was, we're going into Iran after the elections in Iraq. And the second one was the bombing with nuclear bombs of the Mecca, the mosque in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. And to explain the mosque in Mecca, he thought if we went in there with nuclear bombs and Bob blew the heck out of the mosque there, that that would stop all the insurgents from coming around.
Really? Who's this guy? He was just a caller?
No. This is
a
radio host.
Talk show host?
Yeah, it was a talk show host. He was on about 3 hours yesterday, 3 or 4 hours.
Well, the guy's a moron.
Well, no. If you have to listen to the way he explained it, but I'm hoping that somebody else...
We wiped Mecca off the planet with a nuclear bomb, and that's going to stop insurgency?
Oh, that's Saudi Arabia. I'm thinking, what the heck you want to go in there for? I mean, that's off limits.
Oh.
You know, if you, like everybody's been saying, you look at all the people that have attacked us, it's all from Saudi Arabia.
Well, it's not all from Saudi Arabia.
Well,
and the fact of the matter is, Jeff, is that unless you kill every Muslim off the face of the earth, this thing is not going to end.
I know.
And if you did kill every Muslim off the face of the earth, that would be the worst atrocious act by government of all time. And we're supposed to be, and in America, we're supposed to be the good guys, Jeff. We're not supposed to be bombing innocent civilians.
I know. But you know what? I think, honestly, we get a bad rap. I think most Americans are like you and I. You know, if you go to
any talk show host that seriously considers the efficacy or the morality of bombing Mecca has huge screws loose. Not at the sister station, but this station, I'd tell him that personally.
I know. I don't know where this is a conspiracy theory. I thought it was funny when they said it at first, but
I mean, if he was serious, I mean, I question whether he's serious. But you're saying he was putting this out as if it was a valid argument?
Yeah. He said, well, just the threat alone will stop them. And I'm thinking nothing will stop these wackos from doing what they want to do. Okay, the reason I actually called was that, plus the other one, though. I was kind of hoping that people hear this from all around the country. I know there's people on the Internet listen, that we need to do some protesting on Thursday. I'm so sick of this. Let's do some protesting. Let's show Bush that we don't need to go in Iran. Let's get the job done. There was a gentleman that was on the news the other night.
I got to run, Jeff.
But you know what I mean? Let's get the job done.
Okay.
Get out of there.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, get out of there. All right, thanks for your call. This is Freedom Mason. We'll be back after a few messages. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, 1 block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support. All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and have a guest today. Her name is Debbie Goldberry of the Cannabis Action Network out in the Berkeley Patients Group. Hello, Debbie. How are you doing?
It's early here in California.
Oh, I imagine. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show this morning. So you are with the Berkeley Patients Group. Can you tell us a little bit about that group?
Yes. Berkeley Patients Group is a medical cannabis cooperative. We service around 200 patients a day, people who have serious and chronic illnesses whose doctors have recommended that they use medical cannabis to assist with the symptoms of their illness.
And
it's a great spot. We have a full-service medical clinic mainly focusing on alternative therapies, acupuncture, massage, yoga, all kinds of different classes and courses, and then a medical dispensary for medical cannabis products for our patients.
And so this is not just a group that people can hide behind just to deal out marijuana to kids if they want it.
No, we're actually licensed by our city and completely legal and are open to the full view of the public so that people can make sure that it's a legitimate operation.
So in California, you have passed this proposition that allows, well, what is actually natural, in my opinion, a natural and constitutional right anyway, but the state of California has passed the medical marijuana law, which allows this.
Yeah, the
and,
state, yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say the state did. A lot of the local cities did also. So it really is a great program all across the state.
Except for the fact that these 10th Amendment Republicans, the Republican administration out in Washington, who believe in states' rights, have decided to kind of put a little kink in the whole operation there, haven't they, as far as allowing medical marijuana?
Yes, they don't make anything easy, that's for sure. But at the same time, with even in Texas, I think the latest poll showed that 80-some percent of the citizens were in support of medical cannabis. The feds don't have any kind of support to go after the medical cannabis clubs. Occasionally, they do, and they sort of do a show of force and really deny thousands of patients access to safe medicine. It's crazy. It's gotten to the point where if they do take action against medical cannabis, there is a boomerang effect and it comes back and kind of hits them in the forehead. So even though it's not legal by federal law, so many people are in support of it that the federal government actually has a hard time enforcing their own corrupt laws. So.
Well, that's good news. So what you're saying is really you're winning the war against the intrusion of the feds.
Yes,
you're right,
exactly. So all is well, and we still worry about the people that they take out every once in a while.
Was there a recent Supreme Court case on this? Or
there's a Supreme Court case that they heard. I actually got to go to the thing. It was in November, and we're expecting the decision any time, probably a little later in the year, within the next couple months, though. It was a 14th Amendment case saying, really, what does the federal government have to do with medical cannabis? In California, it's all contained within the state. There's no interstate transport. There's no And in the case that went before the Supreme Court, it was a patient who was growing her own medicine for her own personal use, and a patient who was having her designated caregivers grow her medicine, so there's no commerce whatsoever involved, no exchange of money.
Well, it's a very interesting case, I think, both for traditional conservatives and the way they view the law and the Constitution, and for the traditional liberals and the way they view the law and the Constitution. From my understanding, the existing basis for the feds interfering with, even if you grow something on your own land, is an existing case whereby the interstate, the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, which gives jurisdiction to the feds if there's interstate commerce, applies even to somebody who like grows their own beans in their own garden or something like that, because that increased supply affects the price throughout the country. Now, I personally think that's an absurd decision.
Right.
But there have been liberal, those who believe in the, let's say, the primacy of the state and economic regulation, liberal types who said that was a good decision and that the government has the right to regulate commerce because of that, and that the Constitution provides for that with the Interstate Commerce Clause.
Right. And that's what they're using for medical cannabis.
Right.
In my opinion, this doesn't work. I mean, we changed our law in 1996. We have not seen a spike in people using cannabis for recreational purposes. There's no increase in high school students who have access or who are using cannabis. Actually, it's gone down.
Mm-hmm.
So when I watched the Supreme Court case and I heard that argument from the justices, it didn't make sense to me, because if it was going to happen, if we were going to legalize medical cannabis, meaning there would be, what they said is, if you legalize medical cannabis, that means that the medical patients aren't going to use the illegal supply anymore. They'll have a legal supply. So there'll be more illegal supply out there, and that supply then will, I don't know, go to people who want to use it recreationally.
Kind of a muddled logic there.
Yeah, it's like, well, I think if more people are going to have access to cannabis, since there is already there is a lot more cannabis in the state of California right now going for medical purposes, because people who never imagined that it was going to be helpful for them are being told by their doctors, go find this stuff, you won't believe it. And we have not, like I said, seen any increase in people using it other than medical cannabis.
What I would say is, even if their argument was valid, it still seems to me that it's not interstate commerce.
Yeah,
you're growing something on your own land.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe what I'm hoping for as a libertarian is that the Supreme Court will recognize that fact, that the federal government really does not have the right to regulate to such an extent that if you grow something on your land, or your own land, no matter what it is.
Right. The scary thing is that the drug war has never really had logic applied to it. It's always been something illogical. And so in this case, I'm afraid we're going to have the same thing, where no matter what makes sense or what is real or what is even legal by the Constitution, the U.S. government's so stuck on their drug war for reasons I can't quite understand, but there's so much economics tied in there that they're not going to let it go easy. So I think that it is possible that we're going to see a conclusion from this case that defies all logic and makes absolutely no sense.
That seems to be the order of the day for the Supreme Court. I mean, they've passed on the constitutionality of roadblocks for driving under the influence of alcohol, but they've made it unconstitutional for checking for so-called illegal drugs. And again, I mean, I don't think there should be roadblocks for anything, but there's just no logic there at all.
Yeah.
I think you're exactly right. That whole system defies logic. You know, it just reminds me of Big Brother 1984. The Supreme Court says 2 + 2 = 5. I guess it does.
Yeah.
You know. But getting back to the logic of the drug war, and as you know, one of the most illogical aspects of it is how they categorize various drugs. And my understanding is morphine or I believe cocaine and definitely heroin are actually classified as less dangerous drugs than drugs that have medicinal purposes, vis-a-vis marijuana that they classify has no. Is that what, class 1, class A versus class B,
yeah,
or something
class
like
one.
That?
Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure about heroin. I think that's still Schedule 1, but
okay.
Morphine, obviously, so close. Yeah, it's crazy. Again, there's no logic in this whole system. And what they like to say now is, oh, we don't have enough scientific data about cannabis to reschedule it. Well, that's a flat-out lie. which to me, when they say that, it's just ridiculous, because I could be sitting next to the government-sponsored studies that literally am 5'10", you can stack them on the floor, they're taller than me, that say that medical cannabis is an extremely helpful substance. And the DEA did an investigation that lasted 20 years. They did public hearings. They looked at all the studies that had been done by then. And they concluded at the end, their judge concluded, we need to reschedule this stuff immediately. Qualifies for all of the reasonings. There's sort of three reasons that you reschedule a drug to the Schedule II category. Qualifies for all these things. Let's reschedule it. And the DEA, literally after 20 years and the whole thing comes down, they say, well, okay, that was nice. That's your opinion, Judge. And we don't have to take your opinion, so we're not going to. And they kept it at Schedule I. So in the face of that type of attitude, you know, I don't know where you go forward. So they're saying, we need more studies. And you're like, there's the studies. They're like, we need more studies. Okay, but there's the studies. So it's kind of an impasse.
Well, they're going to ignore all the science. And you know, you just look at what the FDA has approved were drugs that have killed people, and they continue to prove they haven't taken drugs off the market, some of these pharmaceuticals that have killed people, yet marijuana has never been proven to kill one person ever.
Well, one of the things that the judge said after he investigated, that the DEA said, his name is Francis L. Young, he said, marijuana, in my investigation, is safer than aspirin, and aspirin has killed people. He actually said it was safer than potatoes, because potatoes kill people, but marijuana doesn't.
It's amazing. Well, I think, what we've got going on here, in my opinion, is you've got the pharmaceuticals, in connection with just the belief in big government. The war is the health of the state, so they got to have all sorts of wars, whether it's a war on poverty or a war on black people or a war on Native Americans or a war on terror or a war on drugs.
Yeah.
Governments love wars because it enhances their power. And then you can connect that with the, I don't mince words, what I'd call the fascist interests of some of the pharmaceuticals. Where if marijuana is legal, they're going to have less economic control over the
situation. Right. Well, what you see right now, I went to a NIDA sponsored conference a couple of years ago. There's a group called the International Cannabinoid Research Society or something like that, and it started out as a NIDA sponsored. They do a yearly conference and it's sponsored by NIDA. The year that I went, it was sponsored by NIDA, Pfizer, every pharmaceutical company. I couldn't believe it. And I was walking around this conference where everyone sets up their table and they've done their studies and their research. And what's really happening is that the pharmaceutical companies are scrambling to get their hold on cannabis products.
Wow.
And I think that's part of the reason why we're not going to see the actual herbal plant legalized without a fight, is that the pharmaceutical companies just have dollar signs in their mind.
They're going to want their control before they're
And I could not believe the number of studies, literally hundreds of studies by these pharmaceutical companies. And I'll tell you, they're having a great time. The pharmaceutical company researchers who get to study cannabis, they are thrilled. They're like the cool researchers. We're studying marijuana, and they love it. And I hear them go, well, there's going to have to be more studies. Yeah, because you enjoy studying marijuana so much that you're going to need to do more studies. That makes sense. And what they're showing that even the things that they're doing, where they're taking the cannabis plants and sort of tweaking it different directions, all of the amazing things that they can do with this thing is incredible. Everything from, weight gain to weight loss to they made a cannabis extracted birth control substance. I can't believe how they did that, but they did. It really can help so many different...
Well, that was part of the scare test, by the way. Excuse me for interrupting.
You're
a male, you wouldn't be able to have any kind of potent sperm,
Right.
Besides the fact of growing female breasts, I think that was...
Yeah, well, somebody took that concept and really went within a laboratory and zeroed in on it, and, I'm sure that it took them a long time, because obviously just smoking the plant doesn't do that to people, but in a research setting, who knows? So I guess that all I'm saying is that the pharmaceutical companies know the wave and they know what's coming, and they are in there on the ground floor making sure the herbal natural plant doesn't get legalized so they can assure their pharmaceutical profits. And they've actually started to do a lot of studies. Like in Holland, they did a study where they compared a pharmaceutical extract to the natural plant with multiple sclerosis patients. They actually found that the natural plant blew the pharmaceutical extracts out of the water, nowhere near the comparison of what the actual herbal plant does for people, at least in this study. And I think that's what's going to be.
Now that's interesting. That's what I've heard. By the chemically manufactured what is it called? Cannabinol or something like that.
That's one of the molecules.
Okay. Versus the natural, it's very interesting. But yeah, that's what I've heard from time and time again. Is the natural works better? Just as if you drink orange juice. Seems like you're getting a lot more than just the ascorbic acid of vitamin C. There's more to it.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it is that the cannabis plant has several different molecules in it that are active and helpful to people. And so in a research setting, when they pull out one of them and say, hey, what can we do with this? It's not really whole plant medicine anymore.
Right.
So, and all the studies that have shown so far, whole plant medicines are far preferable. And anecdotally, when I talk to patients, there's a product called Marinol that is a marijuana extract, and it's available on the market. You can get prescribed by your doctor and go to Walgreens and pick up your Marinol. They don't like it. Marinol is extremely heavy. It makes people feel nauseous. It makes them sleep. It makes them dopey. That's what they say. And with the cannabis plant, you don't get that. At least the people that I have been talking to actually feel they feel better when they use the cannabis plant and worse when they use marijuana.
Yeah, well, Debbie, I've done some of my own research.
Okay.
The reason I don't do all that much of it is because it does make me sleepy. But,
I'm sure for some patients, you know, maybe that's what they're looking for. So they're like, let's go for the sleepy stuff. Out here in California, we know that there's different strains of cannabis. And so if you're in pain, you look for certain strains. If you want to sleep, you'll look for certain strains. I mean, that's getting specific with plants, but it's like if you like, you know, roses, you're going to get roses. If you like chrysanthemums, you get something different. And that's kind of how the cannabis plant is. And that's an amazing plant.
In a lot of ways. We're talking with Debbie Goldsberry of the Cannabis Action Network and the Berkeley Patients Group. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. If you have any comments, questions, observations, please give us a call. Talk to Debbie, 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. Josh Cesari is a real go-to tech guy. Josh Cesari is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. Josh Cesari comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Cesari at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Cesari, make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case worse than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. We are back with Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John, and that bumper music was part of the music in the background of the days that I used to do this experiment. I don't mean to make fun of this, Dan, because I really support what you're doing.
I don't mind at all. It's a great topic. I mean, it's serious, but that's why I'm here. You know, it's serious and it's fun. It's a great place.
There you go. All right, we do have a caller. So this is Wendell. Hello, Wendell. Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to say that I think you people are just trying to cover up the possible illegal use of these medications. Our government is there to help protect us. That's why we have government inspections of things, to make sure that we have good quality items that will be used by the public. And I think that this argument is important when it comes to the interstate commerce, because if you're allowed to grow something that could make its way to the public market, it can upset the balance of the supply and the cost. I'm supportive of our even of our state here in Illinois, which is finally doing something to stop the methamphetamine usage by making it that you have to give your name and an ID and can only buy 2 boxes of Sudafed, and that stops the too much use of the Sudafed for making methamphetamine. And I think that you people are just trying to cover up. Your so-called studies don't really show that medical marijuana is medical use at all. It's just for people to get high, so that it's for a gateway.
Okay, let Debbie respond here, Wendell. Go ahead, Debbie. And I honestly got this is a real caller. This is not, I didn't plan this.
Yeah, I would say for sure the so-called studies, that indicates that you haven't taken a look at the studies. If you had, you wouldn't be able to make that comment. In California, this is an issue between a patient and a doctor. Doctors are there to prescribe the medicine that will help their patients. So for us, it's a private decision between a doctor and a patient. If medical cannabis is going to help them, then that's great. Those patients need to be in ongoing care so that they can be tracked, so that we can make sure that they're getting better. And also, look, medical cannabis is an herb. You can grow it in your garden like you would grow onions or you would grow mint. It's not a big, dangerous drug like the government makes it out to be. It's actually a very kind substance. We are thankful that it's on the face of the planet. It is helping people. It's keeping them alive. It is improving the quality of life. And the government's just flat wrong on this issue.
Well, that's what you say, but the government studies. If that's the case, then why don't we have medical-aged beasts then?
What?
Well, there's people who like to take beef, you have people who will age like elk, go elk hunting, and moose specifically. And moose is, you age it before you eat it.
Oh, Right. Okay.
Well, there needs to. There's been people who died from the diseases that occur with that, and everyone's saying we're all part of the village of America, and we need to take care of each other, and that's what the government's there for. I eat government-inspected meat. We don't see that mad cow thing breaking out here like it did in Europe. In Europe, they smoke a lot of marijuana.
Where they have laissez-faire, no controls in Europe and Canada, are you saying? You're not really suggesting that there's no controls by the government for meat in Europe or Canada.
They have that mad cow outbreak, and we've not really had that here, and that's because of our FDA, and it's been able to keep track. We eat meat that's FDA approved. We have the FDA telling you, checking and testing the drugs, making sure that they're safe, and they've done all the testing already on this marijuana, and you're arguing from a conspiracy theory that the government doesn't want healthy, productive people. And we do. We need to have healthy, productive people.
Caring for people's health, and that's all that really matters to me. When I see people who are sick feeling better, that's success. When I find the government telling me sick people can't feel better because of, and you ask why, I can't figure out why. They'll say because of the studies. You look at the studies and go, well, it's not because of the studies. What could it be? I mean, I have a tendency to agree war is healthy for our government. Well, war on its own people, that's a crime. That's
we have a responsibility.
They're not going to, stop us without citizens. The citizens of America are standing up saying end this war on medical cannabis.
Well, we have a responsibility to make sure that our actions don't contribute to the harm of other people, and that's why I'm happy that I can only buy 2 boxes of Sudafed at a time now.
Protect me from myself, government.
I feel pretty secure that if I need Sudafed, I'll get it. And if I need more than 2 boxes, I'll go to Walgreens, and then I'll go to Long's, and then I'll send my brother down to the corner store to get
it. Here in Illinois, you have to show your ID, and they take down your name and your phone and your address to keep track to make sure that you don't buy too much and do this shopping.
Methamphetamine. So I'll tell you what, they'll drive to Indiana. They'll go to, Michigan. It's nice that Illinois has it, but, methamphetamine.
Well, not everybody can drive, and that's fine because we don't need the methamphetamines being pushed on our children after they smoke marijuana.
I think that what we can look at in California is the fact that the program has been successfully in place, and not just in California, it's in almost 10 different states around the country. And despite the fact that we've been successfully using medical cannabis as a treatment for sick patients in California now since 1996, we've seen absolutely no increase in the illegal market for cannabis, not with kids, not with adults, nowhere. In fact, the number of people using cannabis over the last several years has gone down.
Well, that's what you say.
And that's what happened, I believe, in the 90s, too, Wendell.
Well,
actually, they've kind of decriminalized pot in the Netherlands, the uses have gone down.
Yes, that's true. They actually have less youth using cannabis in the Netherlands than they do here per capita.
Because there's not, in my opinion, because there's not the syndrome of the forbidden fruit syndrome.
Well, thank you for your time, and maybe the DEA needs to make you a visit here, Mr. Kim. You have a good day.
I'm sorry,
I missed that. Did you catch that, Debbie?
No.
Okay, well, we'll move on. All right, we got another call. I just want to give that her his name. That's okay. You're on the air. Hello. Yes.
I believe that they should legalize marijuana in the state. I'm a cancer patient, and I know that by personal use that it is the difference of night and day. I was violently ill with my chemo treatments until my doctor suggested that I try marijuana. He couldn't prescribe it for me, but he suggested that I try it, and it made a world of difference in my ability to function, and not be sick. And I've had Marinol as well, and it doesn't work nearly as well.
The customers of this are endless, aren't they, Debbie?
Yeah, it's amazing. I got into this issue. My best friend had breast cancer, and she fought it for years, actually. She ended up passing away a few years ago. But when she was dying, I couldn't even believe, or when she, you know, was going through her radiation treatments, the drugs that they were giving her, unlimited supplies of morphine, Vicodin, you name it, and they absolutely weren't helping. It was terrible. When she started using medical cannabis, she was able to cut back those substances that weren't working, use the medical cannabis. Not only was it making her feel good, and she could eat, and we could go to parks, and we could have a good time, she said that the morphine was taking away her soul, so she no longer felt like she had sort of a purpose. But when she started using medical cannabis, she got her soul back, so her life had meaning again. So it's hard to classify. How do you say, like, a morphine has no meaning, but when you have medical cannabis, suddenly a patient can actually enjoy their life and be critically ill. That to me is like something that we're aiming for in the way we should be treating our patients. You shouldn't be sick and have to be miserable. If you can be sick and feel good, if you're going to smoke marijuana and laugh, that is great. That's success. And, that's just a small part of what it does. It is an incredible pain reliever, muscle relaxant, all kinds of different things.
God's gift to man, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I think it's here for a reason.
Hey, caller, anything else?
No, that was all.
All right, thank you very much for your call. All right, this is Freedom Ring. We're here at 847-931-1410, talking with Debbie Goldsberry of the Berkeley Patient Group. If you have any questions or comments or your own experiences, please give us a call, 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Ring to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only answer yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm a tax man.
All right, we're back with Freedom Rings, talking with Debbie Goldsberry of the Berkeley Patients Group, and we have John on the line. Hello, John.
Hi, Debbie. I'd like to know if you had anything to do with the passage of the California law, and also, how did you start the Berkeley Patients Group?
Well, hi. Let's see. Yes, I was definitely involved in passing the law. It was an initiative, so we had to beat the streets and get those signatures. Our little office in Berkeley, California, we collected 30,000 signatures. We needed a million, so it's kind of a small piece of it, but it was a big chunk of signatures for Berkeley. We registered 1,500 new voters in our hometown to vote for this thing, which is great. And when the vote came in, we actually got the second highest vote in the state in Berkeley, which means, you know, most of our citizens, obviously not all of them, support medical cannabis, and it's a great place for cannabis patients to come and just feel normal. So Berkeley's a great place. I didn't actually start the Berkeley Patients Group. It was started by a guy who, he had AIDS. He died, I guess, we have had the Berkeley Patients Group for almost 5 years now. He died about a year and a half into the project. He started the project for people who were dying, you know, sort of a hospice type of drop-in hospice with a community center and a place for people just to come to feel normal while they were going through their life transition. So I think that's part of the reason why we have an extremely popular program, because it's a place that people can really feel comfortable, have a good time, and still have other people around that understand that they're actually in critical pain and may even be passing at that very time. We have an awesome hospice program. We have a great alternative health care system. Every treatment that we offer is free, from acupuncture, massage, yoga, different classes and courses, peer counseling sessions. We have a knitting class. Everything that we can think of that will just help people feel good while they're feeling bad.
Has the DEA tried to stop you or made arrests or anything?
Not in Berkeley. Our city actually made a law saying that they wouldn't work with the DEA in any way to help them stop medical cannabis. A lot of cities and counties across California have joint narcotics task forces with the DEA, so they go out to a marijuana arrest, and they'll actually be a DEA agent with the team that's there. Well, the DEA, if they run across cannabis, they do something about it, whether it's an individual patient or a patient's co-op or any part of the process, they do something about it. So our city made a law saying we're not going to work with them at all. So the DEA does not come to Berkeley if there's a cannabis.
Okay. Thank you, Debbie. If people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that for the group?
You can call 510-540-6013.
Very good. Thank you very much for being on the program today.
Great. Thank you.
All right, quotation of the week from Gandhi. Non-cooperation with evil is as much a duty as cooperation with good.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.